about it and set a spell, neighbors. Here's that lovable First Lady of the Ozarks, May Kennedy McCord, ready to chat with you about this, that, and the other in Ozark folklore and traditions. Good morning, May.
Thank you, Jim, and good morning. Jim, I heard a lot of good things about you. You're entertaining down at the Miller Fair Thursday night.
Thank you, May.
Is that Jim an entertainer when you get him started? Good morning, friends. I hope you're just fine. The weather's lovely now. First hot and then cold. Of course you're just fine. You know, I recall something I read. The way to live long. We're always reading how to live long. It said a reporter interviewing an old lady 100 years old asked her how she managed to live that long and keep so well. She said, well, I'll tell you. When I worked hard. When I set loose. And when I worried, I went to sleep. Now, if you can beat that for a prescription, let me know. It's especially about when she set loose. Often when I'm tense and I have a lot to do and a lot on my mind and, oh, here and there, if I sit down in a chair, I'm just practically on the edge of it, I find out, barely perched there. Ready to fly like a catbird, not resting at all, just perching there. Every bit of my insides tied up in a knot. I sometimes catch myself at it, and I do the thing an old doctor once told me to do. He said, first, you've got to sit relaxed all over, as the old lady says, sit loose. He says, give a great big sigh. That way, just as if you had all the troubles in the world now off your mind. And then try to imagine that you weigh about 500 pounds. Isn't that queer? And that you're just a great big lump of something, and someone poured you out there. Maybe that's what you are. Someone just poured you out there on the chair, a great big heavy lump of something. And that the chair is very strong and holding you up. And try to think that you haven't one thing in this world to do but sit there forever and weigh 500 pounds. You know, that sounds awful crazy, but I've tried it and it works. It's the greatest method of relaxation imaginable. Now remember, you've got to remember about that weight. Imagine you just weigh a ton or something. I think we're all nervous and worked up to a jumping pitch right now about the war psychosis, as they call it. And of course, psychosis means a form of insanity, and that's what it is. Did you see the paper? They put off their big bomb this morning over there. Getting busy, aren't they? That's what the paper says. They put off the first big one. That is, you know, testing it out. Land, I don't think they ever stopped testing. In this mad hour when nations, petulant as children in the night, cry down, appeal to reason, and resort to arms, when men and ships sail to all the seven seas, may hope and faith make firm the shutters of our home and keep alive within our hearts the flame of brotherhood. O world of muddled men, seek the peace of God again. In the humble faith that kneels, in the hallowed word that heals, in the hills that hold the sky, the star you pull your heart up by, in the hope that answers doubt and love that drives the darkness out. Frantic, frightened, foolish men, take God by the hand again. My, isn't that wonderful counsel? I notice that September the 24th will be World Day of Prayer for Peace. Let's don't forget it. September 24th. I hope I'm right. I read it in the paper. The old woman says it's in the paper. I also note that a minister in the South, I believe it's the South, I've forgotten the place, has written to Khrushchev a letter and asked him to attend their two-hour session of prayer for peace that they're going to have in their church. Hurrah for that preacher. He's got what it takes. Of course, it won't do any good. It's doubtful if Khrushchev will ever even see the letter. All that sort of mail about prayer and religion and stuff like that is sorted out and read by his assistants and torn up and thrown in the wastebasket. They don't believe in it. He would no doubt just laugh at it. But I'm grateful to that preacher who wrote him anyway. You know, I can see Khrushchev at a two-hour prayer service, can't you? But the minister wanted to let him know where we stand in this country, and I say good for him. You know, communists, they say religion is silly. It's childish. It's just for old and addled people. That's a good old word. They used to say addled, you know. It's just for old and addled people. And they say it's an opiate. It's a drug to the people and their senses, and it keeps them from doing anything. And they want nothing whatever to do with it, want to wipe it from their nation. Pretty hard thing to wipe away, you know. But you know, Stalin was educated for a priest when he was young. Did you know that? His mother was devout. She was a Roman Catholic and very devout. And you know, I saw a picture of Stalin in St. Louis one time that a woman had cut from a magazine. He was at his mother's knee, kneeling, saying his prayers when he was 5 years old. I'll never forget that picture. And you may not believe this, but he was the prettiest, most delicate featured little boy you ever saw. His nickname was Soso, S-O-S-O, Soso. And the picture said underneath, a little boy named Soso. Well, that little boy didn't make any priest or preacher or anything else but a murderous dictator. And while we have a cunning and stubborn and cruel one over there now in Khrushchev, but at that he's not a patching to Stalin. I wish I had time to really tell you the whole story a lieutenant colonel told me one time at a banquet in St. Louis during the last World War when I was there on radio as I was seated by this man. We were talking at this dinner. It was during the Second World War, and he was stationed over there. He told me how Stalin shot his brother-in-law in cold blood there in the room, in the back of the head. He just said, turn around. His brother-in-law, he knew to turn around, and he turned around and shot him. He said the man wilted down dead right there in the office, and Stalin just walked back to his desk, sort of brushed his hands like brushing off a little bit of dust, and said to his secretary, let's see now, where were we in this letter I was dictating? They carried the man out streaming with blood, and Stalin never even looked around from his desk. The lieutenant said, Mrs. McCord, I just turned deathly sick. I'll never forget it. That was when we were in with the Russians in that war, you remember, and this lieutenant colonel was on some sort of duty in one of Stalin's offices in the Kremlin. Well, you know, we don't breed any sort of Americans like that over here, thank heaven. We just simply are not put up that way. Imagine a president of ours doing a murder like that. The brother was leaving the country with the brother-in-law, his sister's husband, with $1,500 on him. And you were not supposed to leave that country with a dime on you or leave it at all. And somebody caught him and brought him into Stalin. He shot him right there. Well, that's enough of that. I want to say happy day to Mr. and Ms. Tom Hicks of the Buckhart community near Mountain Grove, who are celebrating their 64th wedding anniversary on September the 5th. They live on the home that their father homesteaded before the Civil War. Mrs. Hicks' father was the late Dr. Whit Burns, a good friend of mine. 64 years is a long time, you know. Mrs. Hicks is totally blind, but her sister Lily B. Reed, who is a writer friend of mine for many years, says that she's very uncomplaining and cheerful and has a most remarkable memory. Mr. Hicks will be 85 next month, and his hair is still jet black, and he looks about 65. Also down there, neighbors of the Hicks are Mr. and Ms. Joe Wheat, who've been married 67 years. I hope they reach the diamond wedding date. That's 75 years. You know, we have mighty few couples celebrating their diamond wedding. It's a remarkable thing to do. Thank you, Lily, for telling me. I want to say hello and send my love to the Berry Tour folks again. This time they were nearly all women. Wonderfully nice ladies. I know you enjoyed this famous trip over the Ozarks and the weather was fine. What's the matter with men, anyway? I think vacations bore 'em. Don't you? You know men are awful easily bored. You have to remember that. Well, too easy. Mrs. Nanny Jenkins, superintendent of Hickory County Public Schools, writes to tell me of a very unique meeting at Wheatland next Sunday, tomorrow. Now, I hope it's tomorrow. I know it is, I'm sure. In the Baptist church there at 2:00. Indeed, I would love to attend if I could. But it's just impossible this year. It's their 80 and over day, they call it. A program put on entirely by the old folks, 80 and over. She says it's really wonderful, and the old folks love to do it, and everyone loves to have them. She says one man, 82, plays the piano, also the violin. He's going to play on a 100-year-old violin with a history next Sunday. A dear lady, almost 94, who is blind, will sing the old armchair. They have so many old folks down there who perform, she said. They give the whole program. Then they have gifts for special ages and also for the golden wedding couples. One couple, Mr. and Ms. Will Palmer of Wablo, celebrated their 70th anniversary last January and are still up and going. There were there last year at the meeting 36 old folks in the 80 and 90 groups and 34 in the 70. More in the 80 and 90 than in the 70. She gave me a special invitation to come, and oh, I wish I might, but I will next year. I went last night to help entertain at the Miller Fair, and Jim Kendrick went the night before. I would just have to stay at home today and tomorrow. I'll be at the Overday 80 Day next year, I hope, sure. We had a great time at the Miller Fair. They have a most wonderful fair down there. Oh, everything, the displays and all were wonderful. Henry and his wife Anita took me, and their guest they had. And believe me, we had a wonderful and a gay time. It was good to see many friends and listeners, and there was a big crowd there. My friend Francis Babs, I was glad to see him again. And to meet all the fair folks, C.C. Winifred and Dorothy were there. And she whistled. And everyone is always so glad to meet and see Winifred again. You know, my time's up nearly. But before closing, I want to just tell you this riddle, let you be studying on it. A woman sent it to me. A man, Lawrence Lawyer of Humansville. I knew that riddle when I was a child. It ran me crazy then. It's running me crazy now. Now, he tried to figure it out for me on a chart, but I can't read a chart. Now, no chart ever made. Now, this old riddle is this. Brothers and sisters, a man says, brothers and sisters have I none, but that man's father's my father's son. Seems like it ought to be his brother, that man, but he says he has no brothers or sisters. Now, you work that out. I think I kind of halfway got it, but see what you say about it. Well, my time's up. I got to run. I'll be seeing you next Saturday, the Lord willing, and the creek don't rise. Now, remember this. Brothers and sisters have I none, but that man's father is my father's son. So work it out.